Reading from the book of St. Luke, the gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, the first verse. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the coast of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seat and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. And they rejoiced with her, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. It's reading the whole chapter. You know, there's a number of things that is outstanding here. You may wonder, as we read the last part of this, why that his mother called his name John when it appeared that his father had not agreed with her in this, or she did not consult him. But if you remember the first part we read here, the angel came to him, said, She'll have a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So it is obvious that he had already told her that there was to be a son, and that she was to call his name John. She was in agreement with him. When you read the latter part, you know, you get the idea. Here God spoke to this woman above her husband, and her husband just has to follow her along and say, Yep, she said John, it'd be John. But that wasn't it at all. God had told him, and he had indoctrinated his wife. And when the time comes, she said, His name shall be what the Father said it shall be, John. And then when they consulted with him, he said, It shall be John. Because that's what the angel had said that it would be. If you'll notice here also, it says that he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You know, where people get in trouble is in the imagination of their heart. People always get in trouble in the imagination of their heart. God gives us a real lesson here in the book of St. Luke and tells us exactly what we must do. When Zechariah prophesied, he said it is the divine ordination of God. Remember now, it wasn't him talking, but it was the Holy Ghost. That it is the divine ordination of God that we should serve Him in holiness, in righteousness, without fear, all the days of our life. God doesn't want us to be afraid. God doesn't want us to be filled with fear. The first thing that we should do is get rid of fear. Where there's fear in the heart of a person, that means that faith is absent. If you are filled with fear, it is because of condemnation. You're under condemnation. You're not communicating with God. You're not praying to God properly. You're not living a life of soberness with God. You're trying to do something some way or another to include something that is of the flesh or that is not pleasing to God in the Word. Because the Bible teaches perfect love cast out fear. So then when you perfectly love God, when you perfectly love the Word, when you perfectly desire His way, there is no fear in your life. For how can you fear when you perfectly love God? Because when you perfectly love God, then love is perfected in your life. And there is no room for fear where there is love, because there is no condemnation. Wherever love is, there is no condemnation. Faith worketh by love. And where there is faith, there is no unbelief. There is no fear, because fear is faith in reverse or unbelief. Therefore, when you have the love of God, you don't have to worry. Here, the Holy Ghost itself speaking, saying that we should serve Him, serve God in holiness, righteousness, without fear. When we serve God in holiness, when we serve God in righteousness, brother, there won't be any fear. But when we fail to serve God in righteousness, when we fail to serve God in holiness, then we have fear. You must have holiness and righteousness in your life. You know, I'm thankful because God has shared a lot of things with me in my lifetime. I was telling my wife coming home last night, the Lord has opened my heart. He has opened my understanding. He hath opened my mind to know just to a T, just exactly what His desire is, what His will is, what His purpose is, what His plan is. Just exactly to a T, what a person has to do that God's spiritual gifts can work in their life. And just to a T, how that those spiritual gifts work in their life. And I'm so grateful to God because all down through the years, I wanted to know. I searched the Bible. I read it through many times. I've read the Scriptures through many times, but still didn't know. I'd prayed, I'd fasted, I'd spent many hours in prayer, but I still didn't know. But there came a day when God made me to know and made me to understand. Because I love His Word, I love His Spirit, I love His way. I hate every froward way, David said. Every wicked way, David said, I hate it. I hate those kind of things. Every froward way, I hate them. Every froward way, he said, I hate every froward way. I love the ways of God. When you get to the place to where you hate every wicked, adulterous way. And you get to the place to where you love every way that God's got, everything that God wants to do. Friend, you're going to get the surprise of your life because God's Spirit is going to come down in your heart And it's going to go on the inside of your spirit. And you're going to feel that dark veil of intellectual reasoning and sin begin to dissolve and begin to vanish away. And your thoughts and your mind is going to become very clear. And you're going to begin to see and think like you've never seen in your entire life. But until the day that you get the feeling and desire that you want to be perfect in His sight, that you're going to hunger and thirst after the things of God, until that day you'll never have this experience. Until you can get the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you'll never live an overcoming life. Now you can be a believer. You may be a believer, and you may want to serve God, and you may try to serve God, and you'll find yourself doing this or that. But there's one thing about it, you'll still have a desire for the things of the world. You'll still want to go to the ball games, and you'll still feel like it doesn't hurt to watch the little bit of this on the TV. And you'll still feel like it doesn't hurt for the kids to go out to the ball game a little bit, and go down to the swimming pools a little bit. And you'll still feel that it doesn't hurt for you to mix and mingle with the social benefits of life a little bit. Because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You may be a believer, but you'll feel like there's nothing wrong with it. But brother, let me tell you, the day that the Holy Ghost comes in your life, the Holy Ghost will make a change in you. When the Holy Ghost comes in your life, you'll begin to think different. You'll begin to act different. You'll begin to desire different. Your thirst and your hunger will be different. And you will find yourself becoming a different person. But until you get God's Spirit, you'll never become a different person. I've watched people down through the years that are believers. And I've watched people down through the years that have the Holy Ghost. And there's all the difference in the world in them. Believing is good, but remember one thing. If you do not have the Holy Ghost, you will not make the translation. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're wrong about that. Well, if I'm wrong about it, you don't have anything to worry about. But just in the event that I'm right about it, you're really in trouble. Did you know that? You're really in trouble. So then, I say, according to what I've been made to understand of God, the man, the woman that doesn't have the Holy Ghost will not make the translation. They will be here to go right on through the tribulation period. Now, somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you believe that there's people that's going to go through the tribulation period after the church has gone out of here? Why, don't you know there's no going to be nobody but the Jews? No, that isn't right. There's going to be people that will go right through the 7 years of bad government, the 7 years of tribulation. They'll pass right on through that. I say, where do you get that? Because the Bible teaches that. They'll pass right through that tribulation period. The church will go out at the first of the week. Those people will move right on through that tribulation period, right on over toward the millennium. Now you say, you mean to tell me that all those people that don't go in the rapture will move through the tribulation period and then come out in the millennium? No, I don't mean that at all. But I mean that all of those that do not go in the rapture will move through the tribulation period and will continue on until the mark of the beast comes in, and everyone that takes the mark of the beast will be cut off. And everyone that does not take the mark of the beast, those will pass right on through to the millennium, unless it is those that are killed for the sake of Christ. Those that are killed will die, of course. They will be resurrected at the end of the week. The righteous will. They'll be resurrected in what is called the first resurrection. But the other people that escape that will pass right on through into the millennium. Now you say, Brother Pike, there's not going to be anybody out there like that. Then what do we do with the fact that the Bible teaches in that day all nations shall come up to Jerusalem, and that if any nation fails to come up to Jerusalem, they won't have any rain on their crops? What are we going to do with that? People will pass right on through. All nations will pass right on through the millennium. There will be every nation that's on the earth today. They'll pass right on through, go right on through into the millennium. You know, God, He's got what you call friends of the bridegroom. Isn't that right? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going in the rapture. You're not going to be the bride of Christ. But there are those that are friends of the bridegroom. Tonight, you may be a believer. You may be a friend of the bridegroom tonight. You may be some kind of helper. You may be doing something. You may be working with us right here. And you may be a friend of the bridegroom. You may befriend the bridegroom. And you may get over there in that great, wonderful age. But I'll tell you one thing. You're going to pass right through that tribulation period. You remember what I'm telling you? You're going to pass right on through that tribulation period. And it's going to be horrible. It's going to be suffering. It's going to be a time such as you have never known. And if you are not right with God in the sense of really being a friend, then when you get over there, you're going to take the mark of the beast. And you're going to be cut off from God eternally. And the smoke of your torment will ascend up forever and ever. So then I tell you tonight, if you want to get the Holy Ghost, then you'd better get started. Because friend, that midnight hour is approaching. That time is upon us, where the foolish and the wise virgins rise up. And when they start coming up, I tell you again, that those believers, those people that's been in the assemblies of God, in the Pentecostal holiness, in the Church of God, in the Baptist, in the Methodist, in all kind of movements, in the UPC, those people, many of them, those people are going to run for the oil. They're going to run for the oil. They're going to realize that they need the Holy Ghost. There's people in the assemblies of God and Church of God today that are being taught that they do not have the Holy Ghost, do not have to have it to be saved. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you have to have it. You'd better get it. The Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. How many spirits are they? How many spirits are they? There is but one spirit. Who is he? The Holy Ghost. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, there's God's Spirit, there's Jesus' Spirit, and there's the Holy Ghost Spirit. No, that isn't right. The Bible said Jesus made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Isn't that right? The body was the Lord and the Spirit was Christ. That was God in Jesus. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible said Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. Who is the Father of Jesus? The Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus. So that means he's got to be God. And if you have not the Holy Ghost, if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. So then you've got to have the Holy Ghost. Jesus was born of God's Spirit. He was born of the Holy Ghost. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you, I tell you again, you won't have all that resentment, all of that jealousy. You won't be finding fault. You won't come into this church with the attitude you do. You won't have your mind on wanting to go buy and sell and get gain and ride and just listen to the jingle jangle of the world all the time. You understand what I'm saying? You won't do that. You'll have your mind on God. You'll have your mind on fasting and praying, telling about Christ Jesus. Have your mind on doing something for God. But until you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll never have your mind on spiritual things, because you will never be spiritual. Saying that you're a Christian, that's one thing. Being a Christian is another thing altogether different. What is a Christian? Not one that confesses. For the Bible said that you may confess me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. What is being a Christian? Is indeed living a holy life. Dressing holy. Talking holy. Living holy. Being holy. Be holy in body and in spirit. That's living an overcoming life. And friend, if you don't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you cannot live a holy life. There's no one that can live a holy life without the Holy Ghost. You must have the Holy Ghost on the inside if you're going to live a Holy Ghost life. There's no way to live for God without the Holy Ghost. Why does people teach that folks can be God's people and not have the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that's wrong? Folks say you don't have to be baptized. There's preachers. They say that you don't have to be baptized. It's not necessary for you to be baptized. All you have to do is believe. Because you're saved by believing or by faith. Friend, be reasonable. What is believing? What is faith? Being baptized. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that can't be. Why isn't that right? Because the Bible said, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And said, show me your believing by doing what the word tells you to do. That's what faith is doing what the word says do. What did God, the word, say do? Repent, be baptized. What did he tell the disciples to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them. What did the Lord say? He that believeth and is baptized. That's the confirmation of his believing. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you what I believe by what I do. It's the confirmation of my believing. Is that right? Somebody would say, but I don't believe that you have to be baptized. Well, why bother to repent? Why bother to repent? Why is it necessary to repent if it's not necessary to be baptized? Somebody explain it to me. Why is it necessary for me to come and get on my face up here somewhere and repent before God if it isn't necessary for me to go down to the river somewhere and be baptized? And why did Jesus waste his time being God in the flesh? Why did God waste his precious time going down to a muddy river to do something that's not necessary? And who is he that has such feeling of prestige and importance that he feels that he can't do what God Almighty done and set the example for him to do in humbling his heart and washing his brother's feet? Who is he? Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, whatever. President, king. Brother, if it's not necessary to be baptized, it's not necessary to repent. Because the same Bible that said repent said be baptized. If it's not necessary to obey that part of it, it's not necessary to obey the other part of it. I believe what God said about it. If it's necessary to repent, then we should repent. If it's necessary to be baptized, then we should be baptized. If the same Bible said to be filled with the Spirit or filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit, then we should be filled with the Holy Ghost and we should walk in the Spirit. That's the way I understand it. I believe that we should do exactly what the Bible tells us to do. If it tells me to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, I should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, you got to go one way or another. You got to either say, God meant he that believeth and is baptized with the Holy Ghost. If that is true, then that means those churches are not preaching the truth. If you leave it off and say, well, I'm not going to say that because our doctrine don't teach it, then you say, he that believeth and is baptized in water, you got to go that way. Say, well, we just leave them both off and say, he that believeth. But that wasn't what he said. That wasn't what he said. If you're going to leave that part off, might as well leave the rest of it off. You know, if you're going to leave off part of what God said, why not leave the rest of it off? That same God that said that said, all unrighteousness is sin. Is that right? If all unrighteousness is sin, then we have to leave all unrighteousness off. The same God that said, be holy in body and in spirit. Not just in spirit, but in body. That means you can't gossip, folks. You can't say those things that you're saying. He that bridleth not his tongue, that same God said, that same Bible said, he that bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. The same God that said, believe, said, bridle the tongue. And if you can't bridle it, then all of your believing is in vain. That man's religion is in vain. My, look how powerful that is. Say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I come through here, and I say, glory to God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you be saved. Somebody say, glory to God, that's the way it is. Ain't got nothing to worry about. Brother Taylor comes through and say, bridle your tongue, or all of you be lost. Kill everything I said, unless you bridle your tongue. Somebody say, I love Jesus. So then, brother, it's line upon line, and it's precept upon precept. We must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We must add to this experience faith, into this faith knowledge, into this knowledge virtue, into this virtue patience, and right on to godliness and all these wonderful things as we grow in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we stop at any part of God's commandment, then we do not have any benefit of the first things we started. If we go halfway and stop, we lose everything. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm a Christian. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I might not get to all them other things. But my friend, you'll be lost and die and go to hell if you don't get to them other things. If you do not know anything else, if you never understand anything else, when you're doing your diligence to understand, God will never require anything else. Just whatever you understand, that's what you'll have to do. But beloved friend, if you understand the other things, and God's going to require the other things out of you, He's going to require them. And if you stop short of any one of those things, you lose all that you started. For the Bible said, if you do righteously and you turn and do wickedly, how many times have I told you this? If you stop in the middle of the stream, if you turn around and you start the things of the world, all the good things that you ever done, God said, I won't give you nothing for it. So far as eternal life is concerned. Now in this life, you'll be rewarded. You can't give a cup of water without getting a reward. You might get an extra $1,000. You might get an extra $10,000. He might give you a home in this life when another man has to live in a hut. He might give you a nice new automobile when another man has to live in a tent. He'll reward you. But when you come to that side of the river, you won't get one thing. He'll say, you've had your reward. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't think we could have a nice car here at home? A man can have a nice car. He can have everything here. God gave David a palace. But friend, let me tell you something. There's a price to pay for everything you hold back from God. Don't you ever forget it. God will give you whatever you want in this life, and He will give you those things that you desire. But like Ananias and Sapphira, there is a price that you must pay. You must remember that God will give it to you, but there's a price to pay for everything that you have here. Now, if you're giving to God and you're sold out to God and you're doing everything you can for God, God will bless you till your cup runs over. But if you hold back from God, God will cut you down and put you in the fire. You say, Brother Pike, you don't believe it. God is so touchy. God isn't touchy. Let me tell you something, friend. Look at this angel Gabriel that come from the presence of God. Now, I want you to look at this angel. Now, remember, the ministry has far more authority than an angel does. You remember that. And look at the authority of this angel and listening to this angel. The angel Gabriel said to this devout priest, spoke to him and said, your wife is going to bring you a son. And all the men did was say, but how can this be? He said, thou shalt be dumb, thine unbeliever. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Say, he didn't say it like that. That's what it amounted to. He said, because of your unbelief, you'll be dumb and can't speak. Well, the man didn't do anything. What about some of you people that gossip, backbite, and say the things you do? You say, well, that's different. No, it's not different. That's the New Testament I'm speaking of. That same Gabriel today still comes in our midst. You say, but Brother Pike, he doesn't do that since Jesus come. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Why is it that Michael is seen over there having war in heaven? Why is it those angels are seen flying through the heavens at the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation? Somebody say, I love the Lord. Why is it that Paul made the statement, said, during the night, the God whom I serve and believe in, the angel of God came to me and spoke to me. See, the angels are made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation, to strengthen them, and for them that are heirs of salvation, to perform great feats and miracles in their behalf. Now, I'm going to close in a few minutes, but I want you to get this thought tonight. Folks, the Bible says that we are so haughty, we are so lifted up, we are so contrary, we are so self-willed, that we will just go out blundering through places that angels wouldn't dare set their feet. You say, well, it just shows you we get by with more. You don't get by with nothing. The Bible said every transgression will receive a just recompense reward. Every word you ever said, every thought you ever done, a thought, every deed you ever done. Paul said God will judge the secrets of men's heart in that day by my gospel. Said to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. For I will scatter the imagination of the proud. Every thought that you ever thought, every word you ever said, every deed that you ever done, you've got to give an account to God in the day of the judgment. Some of you women here that know that it's wrong to do the things that you do, and still you go on and do those things. And you husbands that will sit back and sell up on me when I hit that thing and you know that your wife is guilty of it. Instead of saying, my God, I know that's my wife. I should have said something. I should have done something. Now God's on our trail. Instead, you sell up, set back. You say, well, so what? I've had men to do that. And I've had men to come to me because I said it. And the men are dead and in their graves tonight. Not all men. They're dead because they said something to me about it. Because God didn't like what they were doing. When God showed me the wretchedness of the heart of the companion, a lot of times an evil companion, and they being too blind to see it and fight back and stand up against it, and God took their lives. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. This thing is a serious thing. You cannot play with this. You can go to the ball games and you can go out here and do other things in the world. And you can go to the bankers and get upset and blow up at them. But I tell you, you can't do that, Brother Arthur, here. God will get you for it. He'll get you for it. You can't think your thoughts here. God will get you for it. You can't do your things here. God will get you for it. You're going to think according to godliness, or God will mark you off of his list. You're going to walk according to godliness. You're not that good feller that you think you are. There's none good, no, not any of you. He alone is good. So then God will meet you face to face someday. You keep on, and he'll get a little closer, and he'll get a little closer. And he'll get a little closer, and then after a while, it'll be too late for you. Like it was with Ananias and Sapphira. He'll give you a warning. He'll tell you. He'll flash the light at you again and again. But you keep on feeling that you're so good that he can't touch you. It's not you. No, not you. And that self-righteous devil will cause you to lose your soul. And it'll cause God to turn on you like a bear that's been robbed of his cubs. I love you. I had a man to come up here one night. He hardened his heart. There's a man sitting here tonight that's hardened his heart. I had a man to come up here hardened his heart, and I told him to his face right here. I had to openly rebuke him. He had been through one heartache right after another. Even tonight, he's as wretched and miserable as he can be. He still can't get his bearings. Why? Because he knew better than to do what he done, but he willfully did it. There's another man tonight. He is wretched. He'd like to take his own life if he could get out of it. Why? Because he wouldn't live for God, and he come into this sanctuary as a hypocrite, stayed in here and me preaching the gospel and pleading with him. But tonight he's a wretch. Why? He wouldn't listen. And some of you religious fellas, you watch. There's something on your trail. Oh, you say nobody's going to do that. Some of you older men, there is some women in your life. And they're on your trail. And they're going to get you. Watch and see. No, not me, Brother Pike. You watch and see if it don't happen. That man I spoke of a while ago was 62 years old. 62 years old and one of the greatest deliverance preachers in the nation. But they got him. Now you say, Brother Pike, that man didn't have nothing. In the vision, it showed that he had a gift. In the vision, it showed that he had a real, genuine gift. Say, but he couldn't, Brother Pike. Did Balaam have a real, genuine gift? Say, yes, but he was of God. The Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Went up to Ramah Gilead with murder in his heart to kill David. Some of you sit here with murder in your heart tonight. You slay me in your thoughts and in your thinking. Oh, you say, but Brother Pike, we believe in you. You lie. You don't believe in me. Say, we're for you. You're a liar. You're not for me. The man that's for me, his spirit is sweet as honey to me. It's interwoven to me. You may come and act religious and may act pious and act all kind of things. And you may come up and say, oh, Brother Pike, you're this and you're that, but you're a liar. Brother Pike ain't watching none of that. He that flattereth you diggeth the pit for you to fall in. You may say all kind of good things to me. But brother, that don't mean a thing to me when I find your spirit. The Bible said not to know a man after the flesh, but after the spirit. And when I find your spirit, I know who you are. I know what you think. I know whether or not you're my enemy. And I never change my mind about it from then on. Never. From then on, it's always the same. I don't care how you act, what you do. I know who you are. And I know who sent you, and I know what you're here for. And I watch you from that day on. And I make it my business to find your spirit when you first come with me. It might take me a little while. But it's just like the man that came here that many of you are familiar with, and Brother Bill was so shocked over one day. Told my wife, I said, the man might have fasted many years. He might have preached for many years. He might have been a deliverance minister. I don't know about that. But the man ain't right with God. And I said, if you ever cross that man, I said, you're in trouble. He'll kill you. I saw him in a vision. I asked God to show me his spirit. God did. And then God confirmed it with a vision. And I saw the man with the gun. And I saw him rise up. And I saw his evil way of doing things. And it came to pass. And Bill said, Brother Pike, I was so shocked one day when I sat down in his car. And there I saw a revolver laying in his car. And tonight the man has left his wife, run off with another woman. And the whole thing is messed up. Why? Because he wasn't right with God. He wasn't right with God. And there's some of you that's not right with God. The same God that said he wasn't right with God and showed he wasn't right with God showed that you are not right with God. That same super spiritual radar of God that moves over the audience that tells the life of a man. Folks, you need the Holy Ghost tonight. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to get the Holy Ghost. I've got men here with me that are so temperamental, if you rub them wrong one little bit, they just fly up. Feathers, as we say, fly everywhere. It's because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You may be a fine man. You may be an outstanding man. You may accomplish much in your life, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. And you are not going in the rapture. And some of you women are the very same way. You have talked and gossiped until you've almost lost your life. You've almost died. They've almost had to put you in the ground. And still, God undertaken for you, and you're still doing the same thing. And some of you men are just as bad. It's because you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. God is ordained that we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And I tell you again in the name of the Lord, when this Holy Ghost comes into your heart, when this great Spirit enters your life, the Bible said there is a veil over the minds of the people, untaken away even until today it remains. That veil is done away with in Christ. That mind is in your heart. That veil that's over it is that same dark cloud that came over Adam and Eve. That same spiritual darkness that's in there. Great light springs up to them that sit in darkness. That darkness is in your heart. And that great spiritual light of God, that great Holy Ghost, will come into your heart. That great light will spring up. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And that great light will come down in here and shine out of your heart. And radiate with the glory of His lovely Son. And that darkness will be dissolved and just melt away. Just like the frost. Or just like the cloud or fog on a foggy day. It will just vanish away. And all of a sudden, though you look through the same eyes apparently, you will see different. You will understand different. You will think different. Brother Gary, you know that's the truth. I can see the way you're shaking your head about it, that you've experienced it. It is a difference. I tell you in the name of the Lord, I've experienced it. It's different. I tried to serve God, Bill. I tried to walk with God. I fasted. I prayed. I've done all of those things, but it wasn't until the Holy Ghost came into my heart that that thing dissolved and I came out into another world and I said, my God, look at this. It is a new world. It is a new way of life. It is a new thing. And I found out that my spirit has to be translated into another world before I can experience that wonderful world of God. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Let me say this in closing. With those minds, folks, those three minds that I spoke of, with those three minds, one of the devil, one of God and one of man. They're using your brain. I want you to remember that. Those minds are lives. They are spirits. They're angelic powers. Angelic beings. Either the angel of the Lord or the angel of Satan or your angel is using your brain. And if you don't do right, the Bible said in Mary Magdalene there were seven devils. And the Bible said when you're cleaned up, when God called you and He sanctifies you and He purifies you, Satan, the unclean spirit, that spirit that you're born with from the fall, that spirit is driven out of you. You're sanctified. You're purified. You are not glorified with His Spirit, but you are clean. You are free from bondage. But when that Spirit gets ready to come back, and it's coming back because it's going to wander through dry places and there's not going to be any rest for that fallen angel until he comes back to you and knocks at your door, and when you don't let him in, he isn't going to take no for an answer. He's going and pick up seven of his friends and he's coming back and they're going to entice you, seduce you, war against you, harass your mind, do something through somebody to cause you to get temperamental or upset or be led astray or cause something to come across your path until they can get a break and they're coming in. And the last state of that man is going to be worse than the first, for they force themselves in. But my friend, if you get full of the Holy Ghost, they can't come in. They can't come in. You get full of the Holy Ghost and you are like a bulwark in there, they can't come in. They can huff and they can puff, but they can't blow the house in. They can't come in. And I tell you this tonight, and I want it to bear on your mind. One of those lives is using your brain tonight. One of those lives is using your brain. And when those evil, dirty, filthy, ungodly, low-down thoughts of a baseness, of human relation that is out of wedlock, and of another man's companion or another man's daughter or something that you know ought not to be there, those things of resentment and jealousy and backbiting and hungers and thirsts for the things of this world, riding and loafing and talking and just running your tongue. The Bible said in many words, there lacketh not sin. Those things are there, the devil is using your brain like a typewriter. Using your brain. He has teamed up with your appetites, with your God-given appetites. Whereas your own spirit can use your brain to eat, to drink, to sleep, to refresh itself, to go and buy, to get, to sell, according to a normal status of life, according to an ordinary means of life, according to temperance of life, being moderate, whereas your own spirit can do that, and there's nothing wrong with it, and God will bless you, because that is the human way of life, and it is granted to you. But when that thing gets overcharged with that devilish, filthy, evil way of gluttony, and willing to let children starve to death and do without, and the church go down, and you don't have no time for God and nobody and no feelings and nothing else, you are on your way to hell. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And I'm going to say these things, I'm going to shut up, but I feel like God wants me to say this before I shut up. If there is a mind that comes to you of holiness and righteousness and godliness and virtue and pureness and all things that be lovely, concern and love and adoration to help your neighbor, your fellow man, to swear to your own hurt, to stay away from resentment, stay away from jealousy. If something arises in your heart saying, no, I won't think like that. No, I won't believe that way toward Brother Taylor. I won't feel that way toward Brother Pike. I won't feel that way toward Brother Ellis. I won't feel that way toward my fellow man. I won't feel that way toward my creditor up yonder that I know that I've done wrong, not meaning to. And because he's upset with me, I won't feel harsh at him. Call him a devil and everything else. If you've got something in you that rises up, that kicks that evil back, that pushes that evil back, something that causes a continual warfare, that keeps putting that back, a continual striving and struggling to say no, 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 day and night, no. That's the mind of Christ. That's the life of Christ. That's the spirit of Christ on the inside of your heart. Friend, but I'll tell you, if you give in to the other, you do not have the Holy Ghost. You do not have Christ. Charity thinketh no evil. It makes allowance for not one thought of evil, not one impulse of evil, not one reflect of evil. It won't have it. It won't submit to it. It won't accept it. Not one. And tonight, you're going one way or another. You're going one way or another tonight. Good water and bad water don't come forth from the same fountain. You can't just think evil one minute and say, well, I just give into that little bit, but I'm fighting that thing. You are of the devil. You are of the devil. Because that one little thing you give into, you know you shouldn't have given to it. It was the devil that made you give into it, and the Holy Ghost wasn't in your heart to start with. Oh, you'd have never given to it. You say, oh, but Brother Pike, it was. But the Bible said, if you'd have been of us, you no doubt would have continued with us. But you went out from us that it might be made manifest that you are never of us. That every time you come to church and the preacher was preaching, when you were so religious that it was the devil sitting in that congregation, spying out the liberties of the children of God under a religious guise. You never was right in your heart to start with. When the sons of God come to present themselves, the sons of Satan come also. So tonight, remember this one thing, beloved friend. There are sons and daughters of the devil that comes to little Bethlehem as well as sons and daughters of God. And it depends on the mind that's in you as to what you are. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That veil is done away with in Christ. Christ in you will dissolve that darkness in your mind, the hope of glory, the only hope of glory, and you'll be able to come out of that dark veil that Paul says over the minds of the people. In the heart, it will dissolve, and you'll come out and see the great daylight of God For of them great light is spring up. There shall be light in the evening time. I want you to stand with me. You can go where you want to and hear all the preachers you want to. But I'm going to tell you, wherever you go, it's going to be this kind of preaching that's going to take you into heaven. If they preach it at Brother Walden's, you can listen and go to heaven. If they preach it at Brother Wilson Hembry's, you can listen and go to heaven. If they preach it over here at the church over here in Monroe, you can hear it and go to heaven. But brother, if you don't hear it at any church, if they preach anything else, Paul said, let them be accursed. As I've said unto you, so say I again. If it be an angel that come to you, or they worship an angel, or call it an angel, or whatever, let him be accursed. If any man think himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the living God. The commandments of the Almighty God. If you're spiritual tonight, don't forget, children of God, these are the commandments of the living God. I want you to search your heart tonight, in your mind tonight, and I want you to ask yourself the question. Many of you don't have to ask yourself the question, who are you and where are you? You know that you're not living for God. You know you haven't lived for God, and you know you're not going to live for God because you don't have any plans to give up what you desire and what you're doing. You know that you don't. But there's some of you that have been blinded by the devil, and when you come into the true light of God, you're going to make a change. You're going to want to make a change, and you're going to want to shape your life up. And I tell you tonight, if God has opened your eyes, like the song said, I once was blind, but now I see. And when you come into this, ladies, when you come to the place to where you say, my God, I've heard the preacher preach it over and over. Wives, honor and obey your husband in all things. And yet I just let it slip by, let it slide on by, saying, well, I know that, but God knows, you know, my husband gets upset, and God knows what I have to go through, and God knows I'm trying, and well, I know you got to do all them things. I know Brother Pike's right, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You better start practicing what I tell you. Not the hearers of the word are justified, but the Bible said the doers of the word shall be justified. He that doeth and keepeth these sayings. You better get started to make sure that every jot and every tittle, every thought is brought to the obedience of Christ. You better get started. You say, why, Brother Pike? Because translation, which is the rapture, is an interwork of thoughts. You are raptured by inner thoughts, for rapture is translation. There is no such word as rapture in the Bible. It isn't translation. Enoch was translated by faith with the heart. Man hath faith or believes. That means it must be an inner work of faith or thoughts of the mind of Christ. And the Bible said God purifieth our heart by faith. You'd better get your thoughts perfectly in harmony to God, because you're not going to make that translation. We are being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You better do something. Because I can tell the way you're thinking and the way that your thoughts come in here that you absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, are not going in that direction, and you are not thinking those things. You are not doing it.